Mark chapter number 11. And I want you to go to Mark 11. If you can, stand with me. Stand with me. Mark chapter 11. Don't forget to be in prayer for all. We got a lot of folks traveling. And this weekend, the Smiths will also be traveling out of town for a couple weeks. So be in prayer for them. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. And look, if you would, at verse number 27. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about something that I think sort of goes hand in hand with what we looked at last Wednesday night. It is not necessarily a continuation in the series, but it's a continuation in thought. And I was talking with Brother Albert before the service tonight. We're just talking about people's natural disdain for authority. And I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk about having the right view on authority. Look at Mark chapter number 11. Look, if you would, at verse number 27. Mark chapter 11, verse number 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and saying to him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Now, I want to paint the picture for you. These are the Pharisees, the religious leadership of the day of Jesus Christ, and they're asking Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? Now, us, naturally, we go, what do you mean? How dare you ask him that? I want to point out to you, he never rebukes them for asking that question. That's an important thing to note. All right, look, if you would, at verse number 28, or verse number 29. Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question. By the way, I learned this from Jesus. People will ask me questions sometimes. I go, I'll answer that, but I got a question for you first. He's the master at that. You ever met somebody that you ask a question, they answer with a question, all right? That's biblical, okay? Jesus did that, all right? And he says, he asked him this question, answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. Why? They had no authority behind what they believed. That's why they vacillated. That's why it was, well, if we do this, and then it's this, and we're not so sure, and let's cover our way, let's cover ourselves in both directions. You say, what were they? They were acting like politicians do. No conviction and no authority. Now, notice what happens here in verse number 32. But if we shall say of men, they fear the people, for all men counted John, that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. Why? Because they had no authority. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Brother James, you ask the Lord to bring the blessing, if you would, sir. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. I cannot stress how much this affects every aspect of your life, even if you don't realize it. The right view on authority makes a huge difference. Let me ask you a question. The view that Lot had of Sodom before he went there and after he went there, would you say there were different views? Wouldn't you say that going into it, he goes, man, it looks green, it's lush, there's money to be made, it'll be a good move for my family. And just a few years later, he's watching God bring fire down on that city. And he's sitting in a cave looking at what God is doing, going, how did I go so wrong? Let me ask you a question. Was Sodom always Sodom? The answer is yes. Sodom never changed. Lot's perspective of Sodom changed after he went through the trouble that he went through. Oftentimes, I'll put it to you this way. Oftentimes, it's our viewpoint or perspective on something that changes over time. Oftentimes you look at authority in your life, whether you're younger or whether you're older. I encouraged all the parents of teenagers to come tonight because I'm trying to get them to see how important it is for their kids to be in church as much as they can, leading into summer camp especially. And it's so important, but I said, look, it'll be something that'll be a blessing and a help, not just to the young people, but to everybody. Here's what happens when you start talking about authority. All the old people go, yeah, tell them, preacher. Those young whippersnappers, they need to learn about authority. We all need to learn about authority. And we all have our struggle with the concept of authority. And what you need to ask God to help you with tonight is to help you have the right perspective on authority. Let me ask you this. Those of you that are married, before you got married, did you have a certain perspective of what it was to be married? I can tell you this, ladies, and I hate to break it to you, but here's what the guy thinks. I get a mom, and I get a cook, and I get a maid. And then he wakes up and he realizes, oh my goodness, she's a person. She's not just a maid, right? Now, that some of you guys need to lighten up a little bit and understand something. That's how guys, whether you like it or not, with all the brainwashing that goes on, a guy looks at her and goes, man, she's going to take care of me. And if he was really babied by his mama, he really thinks that. Right. So mom, you're not doing his future wife any favors if you overly baby him. Right. But after he gets married, does he not realize, oh, this is what marriage is. Now, ladies, you might be expecting a knight in shining armor, and I hope and I pray he's a good godly man. But you're going to find out at some point, he's not that knight in shining armor that you always dreamed that he would be. All the Hallmark movies, all the princess movies, all the rescuing, all the knight coming out on a white horse, you find out he stinks, he leaves his socks everywhere, what's his problem, why can't he just put the lid down, what, or lid up, or whatever it is, you know, what's the deal with this guy? What is it? Perspective. Marriage doesn't change, it's your perspective on it that does. Authority is a biblical thing, and it's grounded in God's word, and we're going to find out tonight, it is of God, but it's your perspective on it that changes. And it ought to change to be lined up with the word of God. And let me say this, looking at Jesus Christ, you look at him, you go, he doesn't need to answer to anybody. He doesn't need to tell him where his authority comes from. But can I point out to you that Jesus Christ, listen, I would say it this way. As independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, missions-minded, King James, oh, I can go on and on, premillennial, a Baptist, you know what we think of? We automatically lean toward Jesus being the Son of God. God was manifest in the flesh, right? Great is the mystery of godliness. And that's biblical. But can I remind you, he was also a man. You see, the liberals, the neo-Orthodox folks, the people that reject the truths of the Bible, they will reject most of that and they'll go, he's a man. And we go, no, he's God. And you know, the answer is, he's both. That's why it's called a mystery. But as a man, doesn't the Bible say he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin? Doesn't the Bible also say that God cannot be tempted with evil? So when you look at it, you go, man, that doesn't make any sense. That's why it's called a mystery. But you cannot ignore his humanity. And as a man, whenever the Pharisees come to him and say, where'd you get this authority? It is actually not a bad question. The motive was wrong, but the question was not. I'll throw it to you like this, guys. Somebody comes and they go, do you guys have Sunday night service? And we say, no. Oh, okay. Or they come and they go, so you don't have Sunday night service? Right. Do you see the difference? All right. So what it is, it's a matter of motive, and it's a matter of why are you asking the question and how are you asking the question? But the question itself wasn't a bad question. They're saying, look, you're doing something we've never seen before. Who told you to do this? Where did that authority come from? And what you learn from this passage is this. The principle of human authority teaches that there's always a higher authority than us. Authority is defined as legal power or a right to command or to act as the authority of a prince over subjects and of parents over children. Power, rule, sway. You say, what is it? This is a definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary. It is warrant, it is order, it is permission. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. We're going to do a little bit of Bible study. And there are two things I want to say by way of introduction. The first thing I want to point out to you is that Jesus Christ did not do what he did just willy-nilly. He didn't do what he did just because he wanted to do it. He did what he did to obey the Father's will. He was subject and submitted to a higher authority than himself. And I want to show that to you. The second thing we're going to see tonight is this. The Lord is a God of structure, and the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on authority. And that while God is not a respecter of persons, he is a respecter of positions. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and look at verse number 34. Now, you know the day and age in which you live? Now, I mean, some of you, maybe Brother Greg, maybe some of you that were around a little bit longer ago, we're not going to take it. No, we're going to make it. Ah! You say, just rebellion. Just, we didn't light the fire. No, we didn't light it. We just tried. What is that? Just, I'm going to fight authority. I'm going to go against it. And by the way, if you listen to that junk, shame on you. All right, I'm serious. All right, I mean it, man. That stuff's satanic. You say, why? It's geared towards getting you in the flesh and going against anything that's right for your life. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. John chapter, and even if they call it Christian, if it's got that kind of beat, watch out. John chapter 4, look at verse number 3. Now, did you notice something? This is not the message, but you notice when I start something, then you just go, you say, what is that? Flesh. Flesh. Look at John 4, look at verse 34. John 4, verse number 34. Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It wasn't like, here I am, I'm the Messiah, and you know what, I'm here, and it's all about me, and I'm doing what I want to do. If anyone could say that they were going to do what they want to do and be right about it, it'd be Jesus. And he didn't do that. He said to us, to show a pattern, look, I am submitted. I'm doing the will of the Father. Look at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. John chapter 8, look if you would at verse number 29. John chapter 8, look if you would at verse, well, look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Man, if we lived our lives that way, do you know how much more peace there would be? You know how much more peace there would be in your life? If you said, I'm not just doing what I want to do, I'm doing what the Father wills for me to do, and be honest about it. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Why? He is submitted to the Father's authority. Look at Mark chapter 13. Go back to Mark, then we'll come back to John for a little bit more. Mark chapter number 13. Just a little bit of Bible study by way of introduction. Mark 13. I'm trying to show you how the principle of authority, how important it is in the Bible, and how Jesus himself was submitted to it. Mark chapter 13, verse number 32. Mark chapter 13, verse number 32. Can I say this? You will not advance in your career if you can't shut up and listen to the authority in at your office, or at your plant, or at your retail store, or whatever it is you work. You will not advance in your career if you can't say, you know what? I don't like this guy, but he's the boss. I'm listening to what he has to say. Now, honestly, there are some bosses that are terrible. Has anybody ever had a bad boss? Have anybody ever been a bad boss? You're going to get a lot less hands doing it. I bet. I had like 10 hands on the, I had a bad boss. I had like one on the, I was a bad boss. Why? Because I'm not that guy, right? And no one is that guy, but they exist somewhere because they're our bosses, right? You understand what I'm saying? All right, ultimately, even if you don't think the guy's very smart, he is the person or she is the person that God has put in that place in your life at that moment in time. Well, I don't like it. Go get another job. But if you're going to work there, you see, there's something already right there. You go, yeah, but that guy's a jerk. Okay, is that the guy that God has put in your life right now at this moment? Yeah, but do you understand that guy doesn't even love God. He makes my, okay, all right. Let me ask, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll come. Mark chapter 13, look if you would at verse number 32. Now you say, what's going on? They are asking Jesus Christ about the matter of when he comes back to establish his kingdom. Now, let me just say this. After the resurrection, he says, all power is given unto me. Doesn't he say that? And then he tells his apostles, he sends them out, and he commissions them, and he gives them authority, Mark 16, over the unclean spirits. Anybody remember that? That's after the resurrection. He says, all power is given unto me. But leading up to that, you know what he does? He submits himself, and he learns obedience even unto the death of the cross. And in his humanity, before he's in his glorified body, after the resurrection, before that happens, whenever they ask him, hey, when's the kingdom coming? What is his answer? Look at verse number 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, now notice that's present tense. It's not that he won't know. He knew after he rose from the dead. As a matter of fact, you know what he tells them when they ask the question in Acts 1? He doesn't tell them, I don't know. He says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. You say, what is that? That's the principle of God will exalt you in due time if you're willing to submit to the authority right now. All right, look at verse 32. That day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Jehovah's Witnesses try to teach from that verse that Jesus Christ was a lesser God or a created God, and that's not what it says at all. You can't find that in there with a magnifying glass. All he's saying is, right now, where I'm standing right now, I can't tell you why. There are things that he, in his humanity, that he gave up so that he could become our sacrifice for our sins. Thank God for that. He gave up his royalty. He gave up the fact that he sat in a place where there was no sin. He gave up that authority so he could yield himself to the Father to show us, hey, the first Adam failed by yielding to God's authority. The last Adam wins by submitting to God's authority. And that's something you can't get away from in the life of Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple more places. Look at John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. I love that sound, flipping of the pages, man. That's good. I have to be honest with you. I like it a lot more than this sound. I can't hear anything, preacher. Exactly, I know. Love the flipping of the pages. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 22. John 5, verse number 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You say, what is that? That's talking about future events when he is the judge. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In that day, God shall judge the secrets of men by that man, Jesus Christ. All right? Notice John chapter, you say, what is that? What does that teach us? Authority can be delegated. Look at John chapter 5. But the point is this, Jesus didn't do this stuff on his own. It was that the Father committed it to him. All right? John chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Let's look at one more. Look at John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. And I just want to drive home the point that Jesus Christ himself believed in and submitted to the principle of authority. John chapter number 12, look if you would, let me just say it this way. Every problem in your life, and every time you yield to sin, it's a matter of authority. You are yielding to an authority that God does not want you to yield to in your life. You are yielding to yourself, you're yielding to public opinion, you are putting something in place of where God should be. Somebody or something becomes a higher authority for you than God. Look at John chapter number 12 and look at verse number 49. I'm trying to get you to understand, this affects every area of your life. It really does. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Now, I remember when we were kids, my dad would, this is the weirdest thing, I just remembered this. We would go, actually, I remember this the other day, I was going to the pantry to get some food, and I remember this, I just started laughing by myself. If you see me laughing at the house, it's usually because of my childhood. I'm thinking about something from when I was a kid. My dad, before we would go somewhere, there was five of us kids, six total, but five in one house, and I remember we would get invited to eat somewhere, maybe a church activity, and my dad would have us eat before we went to the activity. Now, some of you are like, what did he do that for? He didn't want us to embarrass him. He just said, okay, you're going to eat here, so when you get there, you don't embarrass me. Have you ever said to your kids, okay, hey, preacher's coming over tonight. Be careful what you say. You know, I've experienced some things where kids say stuff, and just look at the parents, it's like, oh, that wasn't supposed to be said. All right, you know, but here's the point. Jesus Christ never had one of those oops moments. Why? He was completely submitted to what the Father wanted him to say. He was submitted to a higher authority. Now, let me ask you, what is your view on authority today? How do you view authority in your life? Whether that authority is in your home, or whether that authority is at your work, or whether that authority is in regards to spiritual matters, or whether that authority is in this church, or whether that authority is at your job or in the government, you get pulled over, the policeman comes up, license registration, oh, what do you need to meet your quota? I can buy you some donuts if you'd like to. Now, you may not say it, but some of you are thinking it. You say, what's the problem? You got a problem with authority. And then you look at your kids and go, hey, you need to respect authority. Fat chance if you can't. Amen. It got quiet there. Well, my point is this. There's an element in us, there's something in us that resists it because we don't have the right view on it. Now listen, when you're a kid and you're getting shots, I mean, you're a kid and you understand they're going to hurt you. That's all you can see. All right, I know this. Everyone's like, preacher, controversial subject, vaccinate. I'm just saying, look, when I was a kid, I didn't understand they're putting these antibodies in me to try to help me later on. I just thought they're hurting me. All right, they're hurting me, and I don't like it. I'm looking at my mom, like, what's wrong with you? You said you'd always be there for me, and you brought me to this person, and you're paying for this, and they're hurting me. You say, why? Because that's all I could understand where I was at. And as you get older, you understand, okay, that's what this is about. I shouldn't have acted that way. Okay, great. Now I get to tell my kid, hey, sit still, right? The idea is this. When you're at certain places in your life, it's not that the thing that God is trying to bring in your life is any different than it was 10 years ago, but your perspective ought to change. And sometimes the way that you view authority is puts you in a place where God is limited in what he can do in your life. Look, we talked about order last week. You cannot separate the idea of God putting things in order in your life if you're not willing to submit to the authorities that he's put in your life. It won't work. Let me show you a couple things here. Look at Matthew chapter number 8. Go to Matthew chapter 8. This second thought is that God is a God of authority, and he puts a lot of emphasis on this in the Bible. There's a reason that you'll find these verses in your Bible. Here's a great story. Here's a great story about a man, a Gentile, that is asking for help of Jesus Christ. And this man comes to Jesus, and he begs for Jesus' help. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 8, in verse number 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, that's a blessing. You notice Jesus says, I'll come, I'll be there. Aren't you thankful for a God like that? But I want you to notice how this man responds. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And sometimes we camp out in that verse and we point out, look at the faith that that man had. And I don't want to take anything away from that. That's amazing. But I want to point out to you something else that oftentimes is overlooked. Look at verse 9. For I am a man, underline it, under authority. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now here's what happens. When authority is given to some people, you know what they realize? They feel like everyone is under me. And they forget I'm still under authority myself. Notice what that man is saying. Hey, there's some people under me, but I'm a man under authority myself. What he's saying is this. I've learned through coming up through the ranks that when I'm given an order, that's it. When someone that is my superior says, this is what needs to be done, that's what's going to get done. I'm going to do my part to get that done. And so what he says is, Lord, if you just say the word, I will talk to my servants and I'll have them go home and tell my the sick one what's going on and he'll be healed. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 9. Go when he goeth and another come when he cometh and my servant do this and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, I want to point out to you, Jesus did not marvel until after verse 9. Let that sink in. It wasn't just the faith. And said to them, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. But that faith is manifested through not just the fact that he says what he says in verse 8, but also what he says in verse number 9. And the idea is this, God puts that in there for a reason. You know what that shows you? God blesses somebody who understands the principle of authority and is willing to live by it. Now listen, whether it's a wife to a husband to God, somebody in a church working alongside the preacher, or you with your boss, or whatever, the government, paying your taxes, you know, all that kind of stuff that nobody likes. The idea is this, God blesses those that are willing to stand and sit under authority. Look at Acts chapter number 8. Go to Acts 8. This is just introduction. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. You say, why is it important to look at all these verses? I want you to understand this is not like a one-time verse in the Bible or just this obscure thought that Pastor Adrian had because he's trying to really put the thumb down on the young people in the church or anything like that. And that is not my goal tonight, young people. I want you to understand that. I want this for everybody because, again, I can't stress it enough. All of us struggle with this. Yes. Acts chapter, you know how you struggle with it? As soon as somebody tells you to do something, who do they think they are? I've seen it in ministry. Somebody says, hey, brother, go do this. Can you take care of this? Well, you're not the pastor. Well, the pastor says you don't like it either. You know, or, well, you see this with kids in the home. Well, you're not my mom. Mom says it. I still don't want to do it. Right? And that manifests itself in different ways depending on the age, but it's still there. All right? Look at Acts chapter number 8. And I want you to notice this is a story about the Ethiopian eunuch and how he gets saved from reading Isaiah. But look at Acts chapter 8 in verse number 30. Let's see here. Verse number, that's not the right one. I'm in chapter 7. That's why it looked off. Acts 8, verse number 27. And he arose and went. This is God talking to Philip, the Spirit of God moving in Philip's life. And Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great what?
Authority.
Now, let me just point something out to you. That meant he had great authority, but what's the next word that falls after the word authority?
Under.
You know what that means? When you're given authority, that means you have learned to submit to authority. All right? The idea is this, guys. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, be a servant. And you say, well, Lord, I think I can handle more. You can't handle more if you're not willing to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, at the places that God brings you to in your life. Let me say this. The source of authority is God himself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And again, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. This is, I'm going to call this some preaching tonight. You say, what is it? Well, it's a little bit of teaching, a little bit of preaching all together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. And before you guys start the He-Man Woman Haters Club and you start, you know, pounding your chest real hard, gentlemen, there's stuff in here for all of us, all right? Here's what it says here, and this is Bible. This is not chauvinistic. This is not sexist. This is Bible. Let me ask you a question. Is the Bible my final authority in all matters of faith and practice, so help me God?
Amen.
All right, it's real easy to say that, harder to live by. And what you'll find out is that you'll say, the Bible is my final authority, and then God will test it by the actual authorities that he says are authorities based on this book. And you go, oh, Lord, you don't understand this person. You don't understand what it's like being married to him. You don't understand what it's like having to go to church with them. You don't understand what it's like to have that guy or that lady as your boss. And the Lord's going, that doesn't matter. It's a principle that it's going to help you. It's not even about the one authority. It's about you and what God's trying to do in your life. Verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You say, what do you learn there? Look, the source of authority is God himself. I may call your mind, I may try to get you to remember that back in the Old Testament, when God is wanting to move in, and Saul is going to be getting off of the throne eventually, he's still the king right now. David and Goliath hasn't even happened yet. But when God sends the prophet Samuel, he goes to David's house, and what does he do? He searches for the king. And they bring all the sons out there, and they have them parade through there, and he goes, not that one, not that one, not that one. By the way, young ladies, that's a good way to choose a man. No, 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 no. Just keep saying no till the right one comes along. Amen? All right? And so the Lord says, not that one, not that one, not that one. And they're all looking up going, Lord, but this one's strong, and he's influential. Look how many followers he has online. Surely this is going to be the king. And God says, no, you have a problem. You look on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. And he goes, no, no, no. And then he finally gets down to the last one. He goes, hey, I got one kid out there in the field somewhere. Well, bring him in. Well, all the brothers are like, well, ain't going to be him. He's a, you know, sissy boy, plays the harp, runs around with sheep. That ain't him. You know, and so Lord brings in David. David comes in, and you know what Samuel says? It's like the Lord says, Samuel, that's the one. And Samuel goes, he's the one. And they're all sort of bewildered. And all of a sudden he says, David, get down. And as David kneels there, you know what Samuel does? He anoints David. Now let me ask you a question. Was it God's plan for David to be the king?
Yes.
Did David become the king in that moment?
No.
Was he anointed by God in that moment? Listen, I was called to preach when I was 14. I wasn't ready to pastor a church. All I'm getting at is this, is that the source of authority is God. God shows this all through the Bible where he goes, okay, this guy's going to be king, anoint him. This guy's going to be the prophet, anoint him. This guy, all the way through the New Testament, where in the early church in the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas already go on that missionary trip, you know what they do? They get down and they pray over those men and they send them out. You know what they're saying? We commend these men and we recommend them. Why? They were willing to be under authority, and now we're sending them out by our authority that was given to us by the Lord. The source of authority is God himself. Understand this. The ultimate battle for good and evil in your life is whether or not you yield to the right authority.
Amen.
Hey, listen, God establishes this in the home. He establishes this in the church. He establishes this in civil government. You know, the Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It's not that God, the man, the king, doesn't have free will. But what God is saying is, I am interested in the affairs of those that I put in authority. God is interested in authority. Because God doesn't see it as a trivial thing. Let me say it like this, gentlemen. If you are the head of your home, you ought to reflect Jesus Christ as much as you can. You know what that means? You serve as a leader. You say, why? Because that's what Jesus Christ did. And he's the one that gives the authority. Never forget where the authority comes from. Listen, parents, I'm going to tell you sometimes, the kids can be testy. Can I get an amen? Amen. And there's going to be some times where you want to be sarcastic and snarky because they are too. You know, and just put them in their place. And let me just tell you, sarcasm has no place. You say, why? God isn't that way with us. He isn't. Now, he'll speak very directly. He'll speak things that we don't like to hear. But that attitude, that I'm in charge type attitude, Jesus Christ never did that during his earthly ministry. You see what I'm getting at? It is something that all through the scriptures is there, and it's from God. Listen, when Jesus Christ is standing in front of Pilate, what does he say? He says this. He says, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. You know, Pilate's like, hey, listen, do you not know that I could have you turned over or I could set you free? He goes, well, the power of you, God's given from up there. And the idea is this, the source of authority is God himself. Can I ask you a question? Why would God put someone in authority who's going to eventually allow his son to be crucified? Well, maybe because it's part of his plan. You might look and go, man, Pilate, could he have chosen differently? Yes. It's not that the free will wasn't there, but God knew what Pilate was going to do. And God says, that's the guy. I'll let that guy do that job. And I wonder if all through Pilate's time as a governor, if people wondered, what is this guy all about? Guys, I'll tell you this, secular historians will never capture all about what Pilate was there for. He was there because it was the moment, a very crucial moment in history that affected the life of the Son of God on this earth, dying for your sins. But you know what he had to hear from Jesus Christ? Any power you have is from up there. You see, what am I getting at? The source of authority is God himself. God is a God of structure, a God of order, and a God of authority. About this, guys, the devil wants to attack Job. What does God say? What does the devil say? The devil goes, I want to get in. And God says, well, you go ahead. Well, I'll try to get in. I can't get in. You know what the Lord says? Okay, go ahead and go. You say, what is that? That is God allowing the devil to have power to do something. I don't like it. You don't like it. But that God did that. The devil has no power without the Lord letting him have it. That's a hard one to swallow, I understand. But he doesn't have power on his own. He has to ask God to do certain things. What am I getting at? The source of authority is God himself. The problem is we struggle with authority. My first point is the source of authority is God. The second one is that the struggle with authority, the struggle is real. Amen? We don't like it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 to prove this. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now I've noticed this. I've learned this. When someone starts saying, well, yeah, that's true. I know the Bible says this, but. And the problem is you've yielded to another authority. Well, yeah, I know that's how things are supposed to go in the home, but. Okay, you're yielding to another authority. Well, I know what the rule is at church, but. Well, you're yielding. What I'm getting at is this. Whenever you go down that road, you're exposing something inside of you. And what it is, and listen, there's not a human in this room that does not struggle with this. You know how I know? Because you sin every day. Amen? And the highest authority in all the universe says, don't do it. It's bad for you. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin your life, your testimony, your marriage, your family. And I still want it. Why? Because I got to have it. That's the struggle with authority. Then you know what? I'll be the exception. I can handle it. No, you can't. But look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. Samuel is reading Saul the riot act. I'm just giving you some scriptural examples tonight. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. You know, when they went looking for Saul when he was anointed king, the Bible says he had hid himself among the stuff. He didn't even want to be exposed. He was that shy. He was that embarrassed. He's like, look, man, I know you anointed me to be a king, but I don't know if I'm that guy. You fast forward a few years later, he's killing anyone that disagrees with him. You say, why? The authority got to him. You say, what is that? He wasn't truly in his heart yielded to God's authority, and it was manifested when he was given authority himself. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice. How dare you tell me I didn't do right? How dare you tell me? I'm the king. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know God gave me this authority? Don't you know that I'm the one that the people dance for? Don't you know I'm the one the ladies should be dancing for? Don't you understand? I'm King Saul. Samuel's like, I just got done telling you, man. You used to have the right perspective. You looked at yourself as being small. Now you got a little too big for your britches, and nobody can tell you anything. You ever met those people that I call them the one-uppers. You can have a conversation. If you caught a fish this big, theirs is this big. You know, if you're sick, well, I was really sick last week. If you got a bad husband, my husband is really bad. You know, if your parents are harsh on you and they just don't understand you, you don't know my parents are even worse. And we're going to go to summer camp pretty soon. Kids, don't do that at summer camp, okay? Don't complain about your parents, all right? Because that's a natural thing. Kids get together and go, oh, man, this is hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. Listen, it ain't that hard. They sent you to a good, godly place. They loved you enough to do that for you. Amen. My parents are just out of touch. They don't understand. They understand more than you know. And by the time you're about 25, you're going to realize they weren't as dumb as you thought they were. And some of the stuff you thought you were getting away with, they knew exactly what was going on. Yeah. Can I have any adults in here that can say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, you just thought you were pulling a fast one on them. By the way, here's a classic one. This is a boss to employee thing. I used to be a salesperson. I know how this goes. You get a sales appointment around 2:30 in the afternoon. You know what happens after that sales appointment is done? Well, you know, I'll check in with the boss around 4:45. And that way, it's the end of the day. Oh, come on. I got some smiles going on right now. And they call me, oh, man, the sales meeting went great. I'm like, great. And I don't say anything because I remember I was tempted to do the same thing. I know exactly what's going on. That appointment was over about an hour ago. They've been drinking Jamba Juice or Starbucks or something else and just, you know, killing time. And I'm like, hey, man, it was a great meeting. And I was there for 2 hours. Sure you were. Pulling a fast one. Saul is trying to pull a fast one on the Lord and on himself and on Samuel. And I want you to see that he starts pointing the fingers as we learned before. And I want you to notice what happens down in verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in what? You're the king. Why do you have to obey? Because there's a higher authority than you at all times. And there's going to be a struggle with that. And you're going to think, yeah, I know, but my way's better. I know God said kill all of them, but man, look what we could do for the church. If we kept these animals and sold them, we could buy some new oxen, i.e. a new church van, right? If we take all these sheep and we kept them and we sold them, boy, we could feed the poor and then give them gospel tracts and they'd all get saved. And look, God said, I'm doing a great work. And God says, that's wonderful, except that is not what I asked you to do. Have you ever woken up, parents, and you wake up and you see the cutest thing, your kids, maybe they're 5, 6, or 7, and they're cooking in the kitchen and they're so happy to be cooking, you're thinking, and you don't have the heart to tell them, I don't want you doing this, because you could have burnt the house down, and at best, I've got a mess that for the next 3 hours, I'll be cleaning up. Can I get an amen? I mean, they may not even, maybe they're 15, they're still doing that, you know, I mean, but you understand what I'm saying. All right, I just picked 15 out of the air. I wasn't pointing it at anybody, I promise, all right? But you understand, the issue is this. I know what God said, but I've got a better idea. I can handle this. And I want you to notice what he says. Verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, I mean, do you have to be that harsh about it? Yeah. You mean whenever God tells me to think a certain way and I don't think that way, it's rebellion? Yeah. You mean when God says don't go there and don't say that and I do that and I say that, I'm rebelling? Yes. You're telling me, preacher, that that's worse than all the stuff that we look at in the world. You're saying that's as bad as idolatry and as witchcraft? Yes. Yes. Why would he call idolatry? Because you then become God and you're calling the shots instead of him. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and idolatry. The problem with authority that you have is fourfold. Number one, you don't want to submit to other people. The Bible says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Number two, you want to be your own authority. We'd all do. I mean, come on. Someone tells you something about something. Well, I read online this. I mean, probably what you read was written by a 25-year-old living in his parents' basement, writing in his pajamas at 1:30 in the afternoon or God knows what, but I read it online, so I know I'm right and you're wrong. Everybody wants to be their own authority. The third problem is this: you believe you're going to be an exception to it. You're not. Going back to the garden, you know what Eve thought? I can be an exception to this. I know what God said, but I got this. My last statement about this, you may think is a little bit harsh, but it's true. You ignore that rebellion is satanic. You know who the first rebel was? The world tries to paint rebellion like it's some cool thing, you know? You know, just sort of guy in his chopper, you know, hair slicked back and just doing his own thing. He's got his own destiny. He's going his own way. He's carving his own path. Usually the guy that can afford the Harley is like 65 and he's dying in 5 years anyways. Yeah. Because they're $50,000 motorcycles, all right? But he's carving his own path and doing his own thing. The world presents it like, hey, listen, do your own thing. You got it. You're the master of your own destiny. Reject authority. You can be a rebel and it's great. No, it's not. When you're a rebel and when you rebel against God's authority, you are following in Satan's footsteps. The first rebel was not Adam and Eve. It was the devil himself. Can I say this? That is rooted in pride. Pushing the struggle with authority is rooted in pride and rebellion, and God hates it. Have you ever been around somebody, you just, it reminds you of someone you don't like? That could be a great person. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, there's been some people, even like in business, sometimes it even happens in churches, you know, and you're like, there's someone they remind me of, and I don't like it. And if you gave it a chance, you might actually like them and think they're a great person. But just the fact that you know that they remind you of someone else, like you see him and you know, you do the Christian thing like, hey, brother, good to see you. And you're like, You say, what is that? Can I say it like this? Whenever you're a rebel against what God has said in your life is right and against authority in your life, God looks at it and goes, you're reminding me of somebody right now. I don't like it. I brought you out of that. And let me just say this, the message that's being preached in every facet of our lives, from their age, all the way up to our ages, is do your own thing. Be your own person. And it's funny because being your own person looks like you're being like everybody else. I mean, isn't that how it goes? I mean, just do your own thing. Do your own thing basically means conform to what everybody else thinks. I mean, any more guys, and I don't want to be political, that's not the point of the message, but isn't it crazy how some people that think they're open-minded will put you in jail for saying certain things against what they believe? Why? Because doing your own thing is turned into be like me. You know what God is saying? Listen, conform to me, not to my enemy. Can I say rebellion is one of two ways? It can be silent or it can be out in the open. Open rebellion is easy to deal with. It's like, there it is, squash. You know, like a little fly buzzing around. When a fly's big, buzz, and you can hear it like in the other room. Yeah. We get flies like that out where we live, and it's a buzz. I'm like, babe, are you shaving in there? Nope. That's a fly going around. Oh, my goodness, man. Let's zap that thing. And you go in there. Okay, there it is. Whack. Okay, I got it. You know what's really hard? When you get bit by something, like, wait, what was that? Doesn't that freak you out a little bit? Yeah. You know, especially if you're staying in a hotel or something. I think I got bit. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are some people that I know, and when we stay in hotels, like, something's biting me. Nope, nothing's there. It's all over me. I'm like, I'm in the same bed. Nothing's there. That's harder to deal with because you can't see it. Does that make sense? Hey, listen, I'll pay for it later. I know, but it's a true story, just so you know. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Hey, there's two kinds of rebels. There's Jeroboam. Jeroboam gets up and he says, okay, everybody wants to follow me, come with me. And then there's Absalom. And Absalom's quiet, and he's nice, and he listens to your problems, and he cares about you. But he doesn't. All he wants is to get closer to the throne. See, rebellion is in us, and here's what happens when you're younger. You're like, I don't want to. And then you learn, I can't do that anymore. I'm just going to make my husband miserable until he gives me what I want. I'll give him the cold shoulder. I'll slam doors. When he says what's wrong, I'll say nothing, right? Amen, amen, amen. You learn how to do it just in a different way. What I'm getting at is that whole manipulation thing, that rebellion thing, that is not of God. And I'm telling you, it is satanic at the core. God is not in our rebellion. I just don't think that's what we should do. Well, honey, your father's just being unreasonable. I can get it for you, sweetie. Well, you know, your mom's just too strict about what you eat. I'll get you the chocolate. Hey, grandparents, here's one. And let me just say this right now. I love my mom and dad, but if they were to come into my home and tell me how to do stuff with our kids after the beatings they gave me, you can see the door, Grandpa. You know what they'll do? I know what mom and dad are saying to you, but they just, you know, I know you young people, and I watch CNN all day because I have nothing better to do now because I'm retired, and I can tell you that you're just going through some psychological, no, the kid's being a rebel. Right? So what I'm getting at is this, that thing manifests itself in different ways. And depending on where you're at, it comes out in different ways. How about this? Why the preacher need to go there during the message? Let me tell you something. You want to damage your kid's faith, you know what you do? Shake hands at church and drive away and say, well, I just don't agree with that. Hey, let me just say this. If you don't agree with that, honestly, there's a couple things you can do. Number one, you could pray about it. God, I'm not sure that what he said was right. Lord, would you correct him? Can I say this honestly? If I was wrong in something I said and you prayed that for me, I guarantee you the Lord is going to show me that I'm wrong. But you know what would be harmful for your child and harmful for your relationship with the Lord is driving away going, well, I just don't think. I know at church we sing those hymns, but I think that stuff Pastor says about the carnal music and that carnal Christian music, I think it's a little overboard. Have you studied it? Where's your book, chapter, and verse on it? Well, I just think, oh, okay, well, let's just get out of the area of opinion. Let's go back to a final authority at what God says about music. But rather than doing that, it's a lot easier just to drive off and go, well, kids, now, preacher, he means well. He's just getting old-fashioned now. And you have to understand it's 2019, and you can't find that music anywhere. Final Fight by Radio, YouTube. I can find it for you if you want me to. But no, you know, it's just sort of it's just the way we deal with those things. I know what you're saying, Lord, but who do you think you are? Tell me what to do. It manifests itself in different ways, but it's the same problem. Somebody asked me this week. They said, 1 Kings 13, you may or may not remember the story. There's an older preacher. There's a younger preacher. God tells the younger preacher, hey, I don't want you going in this direction. I want you not staying in this place. I want you going this way. Younger preacher preaches the message, and after he's done preaching, he goes a certain way. And older preacher says, hey, I'm a prophet just like you. I'm a Christian just like you. Mom, they're Christians and they do it. Doesn't matter. Well, I mean, honey, they watch this stuff. What's the big deal? They're saved. Younger preacher, here's the older preacher. Older preacher goes, hey, come with me to my house. The Lord has told me I am not to go and dine with you. I'm to go home. I'm to go this way. And the older preacher, what did he say? I'm a prophet like you are. And I know what it's like to preach and they don't listen and they don't care and you're probably tired and I got a hot meal for you and I've been where you're at, sonny boy, and follow me for a little bit. And what does he do? He goes to the preacher's house. They're having fellowship. Hey, where'd you preach at? I used to preach at this church. Oh, I did too, man. That's wonderful. And right in the middle of the meal, it's almost like double split personality. The older preacher goes, God's going to kill you. Anybody ever read the story? You know what I'm talking about? Please don't look at me like I'm crazy when I tell this stuff. And if you haven't read it, go home and read it. It's great. The older preacher yells at the young man's like, whoa, you just told me you're an older guy, you're an older preacher, and you've been in my trade, and I'm supposed to follow you. And you know what the problem was? He listened to a different authority. That's right. And it cost him his life. You say, what's left? A carcass, a lion, and a donkey. And that lion represents the strength that that young man had, and that donkey represents the burden of the word of the Lord, and he lost both. Why? Because he yielded to a higher authority. The struggle with authority is something we all struggle with. And preacher, what do I do? Well, it's another S word. You got to learn to submit. You got to learn to submit. Listen, we got a horse. It's stupid. A stupid horse. And it's got it had like this cut on her foot, and Bella will go out there and she'll try to get that horse just to sit still long enough so she can spray it and put the stuff on and get that horse's issue and that injury to heal up. And that horse, you know what that horse will do whenever she comes out? She'll come out, and as soon as she goes to grab that foot, And you know what? I told her, I said, I can solve this with 50 cents. Remember, Brother Greg? Dad! You know what that horse does? If that horse understood that what I'm trying to get you to do is yield for your own good, all that horse knows is it hurts and I don't like it. It's hard to submit to authority and I don't like it. They're putting me in a corner and I don't like it. They're pushing me and telling me what to do and I don't like it. If that horse understood that what she's doing is for her healing, let me say this, and I'll be done with my horse illustrations for the night. We got a round pen on our property, and that round pen is amazing because when you get into that round pen, you and the horse, someone's going to walk out of that pen as the authority. And here's what happens oftentimes. Parents, is a great lesson to learn from kids here too. You go into that in that round pen, and that horse will buck and start kicking and acting crazy. And the human, the natural response is, I don't want to get hit. I don't want to get kicked. And this is a whole lot of time, and I don't want, it's not worth it for me anymore. I'm done. I quit. You know what that horse does? Every time you put him in that round pen, he will act worse and worse. Why? Because somebody's leaving that pen as the authority. And can I say this? When God gets us alone in the pen, he's not going to walk out without him being the authority. And you can kick and you can break. You say, I don't like it. But here's what happens. You get put in a place where it's you and the Lord and there's nowhere to go. Well, I'm moving around. I'm running around. I'm doing my own thing. You're going in circles is all you're doing. You know what you want by the end of that session? You're in the middle of that round pen and you look at that horse's backside and it turns. And you get that horse and you point and you just do like this and that horse starts moving. And it's watching you, and its eyes are set on you. When that horse's eyes are down, that horse is looking around. It's not centered on the right authority. And what happens in our lives whenever we're moving around in life is I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to kick. I'm going to bray. I'm going to do my own thing. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, what the preacher says, what the Bible says, what God says. I'm going to do it my way. And the Lord says, we're not done. Have you ever felt like you're like, wake up, and it's like Groundhog Day? It's like the same thing over and over. Why can't I get past this? Why can't I get past this? Maybe it's because you haven't learned the lesson. Lord, I feel like I'm going in circles. You might be. And I can tell you, part of the issue is a lack of submission to your authority. And I want to tell you right now, guys, God puts authority in our lives for our good. It's for our peace and for our protection. Ladies, can I put it to you this way? Sometimes it may be an issue within your home, and you don't think that the decision that your husband made about how to deal with the kids is the right one. Can I tell you how to handle that thing? Number one, you pray for your husband. Number one, you encourage him to get in the Word of God. Number three, for the love of Pete, whatever you do, don't disagree with him in front of those kids. Amen. Amen. And let me just say this as well, gentlemen, any of you that are dads, you'd be smart not to disagree with mom in front of the kids either, because then they'll break down that authority. They'll go, ah, they're like blood. They're like sharks in bloody water. No offense, kids, but that's just, my daughter just looked at me like, what is wrong with you, Dad? Come on, adults, you were a kid once. If you find someone at work that doesn't like the boss like you don't, where do you go when you're upset? Come on, let's be honest. You know what it is? It's rebellion is what it is. Rather than going to that boss and saying, hey, I'm just wondering, can we try this? I'm not sure this is going to work. Well, no, I want to do it this way. Okay, yes, sir. It's quiet. You say, why? Oh, because that submission authority stuff, that's God. Hey, God put those people in your lives. What I'm getting at is this. There are going to be situations in your life. Mom and dad say, well, as a grown adult Christian person, your parents are going to try to influence your home. And if what they're saying is biblical, take it. Run with it. Say, thanks, mom and dad. But if it's not, there it goes. What does the Bible say? Hey, listen, young people, you're going to have friends in your life that will tell you your parents don't know what they're talking about. And you're going to struggle with that. And can I say this, all joking aside? I feel for our young people. I do. I don't think you're victims, but I feel for you. Because I know how hard it was when I was a teenager, and it's gotten harder. Yeah. I recognize that. You know how you can stay protected? Get under the authority that God says are the authorities in your life. Authority is there for your protection. Authority is there for your peace. Can I tell you this? When Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign on the earth, you know what he's not going to do? There's not going to be any voting. And you know what you have for the first time on the earth? 1,000 years of no crime. Why? Because no one's voting on it. They wouldn't vote Jesus in. They killed him last time he came. We have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man to reign over us. When he comes back, he's going to be a benevolent dictator, but a dictator. Now, listen, when you hear the word dictator, you go, ooh, you think Mussolini, Hitler, Mao Zedong, you know, Pol Pot, Joe Stalin. I said benevolent dictator, a righteous and a holy and perfect one. But he will not ask, what do you think about this? And what is your opinion? Let's take a poll. What are the folks over here in this side of town thinking? I really want to make sure they like me. And he's going to say, this is right because God said it. You know how Jesus Christ combats the temptation of the devil in his own life? He yields to a higher authority. It is written, it is written, it is written. Listen, when you're struggling with things in your life, oftentimes if you step back and you go, okay, what's my issue? Maybe it's a matter of faith. When I have a lack of faith, it is my inability or my lack of desire or my lack of willingness to submit to God's word and say, what he said was right, even if I don't feel like it. When I got bills that I can't afford, my gosh will supply all my need. Right? When I've got things in my life that are crushing me and I don't know what to do, you say, what is it? Well, it's a matter of either I believe myself or I believe what God says. I can't go any further. The Bible says that, you know what? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I just don't feel. Well, then you're yielding to yourself instead of him. Everything, if you look at the issues of life, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you check your heart, you know what you'll find? A lot of the issues in your life go back to whether or not you are willing and desirous of submitting to God's authority in your life. And all I can say is it is there for your good. None of us like to think that the authorities in our life are there for our good, but they are. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God is a God of authority. And if you could learn to change your perspective on how you view authority, it would help you in every facet of your life. I hope you got something out of that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word.